We're live. I mean, not live, but well, welcome to Massive Dirt Hangout. It's recording.
Yeah, let's do it.
A format that we put in place during COVID. We have loads of times on our hands, loads of very cool people around and in the Massive Dirt family. So Massive Dirt Hangout, all about crazy stories. Actually, I wrote nothing down for this one. Usually, I take 3 minutes preparation time. You know, I'm a hard worker.
It's better like that.
I guess like this, we have the best outcome. But let me present Adolf Silva. A very debatable name, but a great, great character. Mountain bike pro, Spanish. Confuses V with B?
No.
Grew up in America? Came from BMX?
BMX, surfing, skating.
Skydive. Crazy eyes.
Everything.
So what are you doing? Let me know your hobbies.
My hobbies. A bit of FMX, obviously. Moto, like track moto. Then surfing, skating. Skydive, third track, pit bikes, obviously. Just everything.
I think that comes from your crazy mom, right? She loves to jump off bridges and do wingsuit.
Yeah.
She's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, she was a skydiver first, and then she just became base jumper. And yeah, then I just started skydiving as well. Not really base jumping yet. I did some, but for now, only skydive and tunnel. I'm loving the tunnel now. Doing a lot of time.
And Rata?
Yeah.
Rata di tunnel?
I did 11 hours the last 4 months.
Nice.
So I can do a lot of stuff. We can fly in together now.
So for all the people that don't know, when we talk about tunnel, we're talking about tunnel flying on...
wind tunnel.
Wind tunnel flying, yeah. Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up? So basically, I grew up around La Poma. That's where I've always lived. Then I moved to the US for 4 years in Santa Monica in LA. And then I moved back to around La Poma. And that's when I started riding. So that's where I grew up, just riding bikes, surfing.
La Poma is like a famous, bike park in the world probably by now in Spain.
Yeah, Europe for sure. Well, their jump spot for sure. Yeah, I don't think there's many spots like that. So, yeah, I grew up around there. Just riding bikes and meeting crazy people like you.
We're going to come to that point. Yeah. Where, what was I going to say? This is your first podcast? Is it premiered? Was I the first one to get you, Monster Energy athlete?
Yeah.
Onto a podcast?
I think I had someone before asking me or, like, mentioning it, but never found the time or never had the interest for it. And then I just got forced into it now, so I'm here.
Like the interest of checking your flights before an event or when the actual event is. It's
the same interest for sure.
When was your first master... Where did we meet? Do you know?
Yeah, La Poma.
La Poma?
Yeah, happy ride. When I did my first ever double flip, I was 15.
And you were still riding on a BMX, correct?
Yeah, I was riding BMX. And I could barely clear the line, and I was trying double flips already. And I landed my first double flip there, and then we met after that. You were there just with Andreo and all the guys, and then you asked me to go to Nice. So we met in Nice, and then after, I think it was a few days riding, I can't remember, and then...
No, it was raining, right?
It rained, yeah. We went to the spot, the color rider spot or
whatever. Hulk spot.
Yeah, we went there. But we also got a few sessions in at the jumps at the house.
I remember you were like every morning, you know, I wanted to sleep in. I used to sleep quite long back in the day when I wasn't old.
Yeah. And I wanted to ride every morning.
Georgie, let's go ride. Let's go. With those crazy Adolf eyes, like expecting... And I'm like, bro, it's raining.
Now I understand you. Now I need to sleep.
You're like, Georgie, please, let's go ride. I'm like, bro, we can't ride. It's too wet. No, man, let's put the kicker from the foam pit onto the flat grass and I'll jump it in the flat.
It's too good. Just good times.
I remember like it was yesterday. It was literally like that.
Yeah, and that was still day. BMX. I was still riding
Georgie,
BMX back
let's
then.
Let's go ride. Please. Please, Georgie. Was the craziest eyes.
Yeah, because so much energy. I was there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days for riding. And I wanted to ride.
Yeah, and we couldn't really get
Yeah, it was a bit wet. But then we went to Yannick's and stuff. So it was fun.
Where the trampoline was?
Yeah. Where he was with his ex-wife. We had a few airbag sessions and like trampoline and
was that the same time?
Yeah, it was the same time.
Crazy.
It was a long time ago.
I did so much shit in my life, I really can't put it in order. And also yeah. I guess
I know.
You know, it's very similar what
yeah, yeah.
Like France, you get so many visitors.
Thank yeah, God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, you get a lot of people. It's hard.
I love to host people. But the MOD backyard has evolved so much, man. You haven't been there in ages. Now we got
Airbnb. Oh, that was my first and last time. So,
bro, you wouldn't believe it.
I know.
Concreted running, perfect line.
I know.
Perfect resi, third spine,
back on the last jump.
Step up, step down. Everything's hips. Perfect. We got a hip line.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
I know.
Really, really cool. And then, do you remember the first time you came to
where?
To South France? To the backyard?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure I do.
Like in terms of what you were feeling? You must have been stoked, no?
I was stoked, but I was also very nervous, I think.
Nervous?
Yeah, nervous. Very nervous. Yeah, but I was really stoked. And obviously a bit nervous, you know? I was just starting to ride BMX. And I never traveled out of Barcelona. So
really?
It was like almost one of the first times traveling outside. Also, that's also when you told me to go to the first MOD show. So I was like, fuck, I need to prove myself.
I need to backflip that kicker onto the flat ground to prove myself.
I need to do this. I need to do that.
I said, no, literally, it was a kicker as tall as me and you wanted to send it to flat in the pouring rain.
Yeah, but that was different times.
So then you came to Morolona. You came from Morolona to
first Vienna.
First massive dirt Vienna.
Yes.
On your BMX. And was that the year where you did double flip to double flip with pyro on your head?
No. That was the second year, I think. The first year, it was where we had the massive super kick. We had two dirt jump lines and the motor in the middle. So the first year I flipped, it was when the first one was huge. It was a big jump. And I only flipped that one and then double flipped the last, which was like my first double flips ever, were a bit still sketchy. But I remember doing a lot of C-crabs and stuff on the first one, which felt really big. Actually, we have a video of that from CP Gang. One of the first videos I ever did. And super sick. It's a good part of MOD. It was really fun.
Man, those years were crazy where we had those two jump lines on the outside.
And really sick.
In terms of, it was actually thanks to Andreu that you came, because Andreu was like, Georgie, man, we got this new kid. He's crazy. He's the perfect fit for MOD, la, 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 la. And then I saw these videos and, I mean, you have been really sending it from the beginning, right?
Yeah, I mean, my first year I did first backflip, and second year I did double backflip, so I could barely ride a bike and I was already trying harder tricks than I could ride. I was just, I don't know, I guess it's the people, you know. It's a good time in Barcelona to ride where everyone was just there, and you know, Andreu and all these guys were just sending it, and I just kind of like joined and loved the vibe and just, I don't know, I like to go crazy and try stuff without even thinking, which was the good stuff.
crazy times indeed. And then let me think. So fear. I always have the impression, and I did ask you, like, Are you not scared, like, of sending it the way you do? I mean, these days, Darkfest, the 30-meter front flips, huge, those big booter double back flips, yeah, all twisted up, or back in the, or your body varials, or the triple flips on the bag. I mean, although it's a bag,
yeah,
it
yeah
hurts. Like, people say, oh, it doesn't count, it's on a bag. Well, no, go ahead,
yeah, it hurts.
Try to land on your head after a single flip on a bag. It's
no, bad. No, it hurts. I wouldn't say I have fear. I have respect, or I know what I'm trying and I know the risk, but no fear. Cause I feel like if you have fear for something, it's just never going to happen, you know? So
yeah.
I like to have respect for the stuff, but if you have fear, it's bad.
I think you need, a good portion of respect.
Yeah. A massive portion of respect. You have to know what you're doing and understand, but if you're scared of it, it's
yeah. Then you get like tense.
Yeah, you get tense and
like
stuff.
Me,
like Jörg. No, but yeah. I mean, the last couple of years, maybe I had a bit more. You know, I had few bad injuries, so that always like makes you go a bit back.
Yeah, but so that still on the BMX days. The first big injury was in Panier, right? Almost died, right?
Yeah, when I broke my kidney. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, but that was in the very beginning.
It wasn't doing a crazy trick either, right? I mean, I know
I know
exactly where it is. You hit this big first jump.
Yeah.
There's a high speed berm, and then there's a roller. And
yeah.
Coming out high speed off the berm, it's super hard not to take off the roller.
Yeah.
And then you instantly have this huge lip. So you got wobbly. I wasn't there, luckily.
No, so in the first berm, my front wheel just basically washed out, and then I landed on the roller.
Oh, you landed on the roller, on the lip.
No, on the roller. So my front wheel washed out, just landed on the roller, but it was not even a crazy crash. Not like, I don't know, I've had thousands of crashes, you know, and it was not a crazy crash. It's the typical crash where you get up and you're like, oh, ha, 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 you know, and that's it.
But you didn't get up.
No. It's just you hit the one little spot, one out of 1,000 that can happen. So it was that time. And then you just hit that spot and massive problem.
Have you been knocked out?
What do you mean?
Like, have you been knocked out on the spot?
No, I remember. Like, I was conscious. I remember they put me in the...
The carry thing.
Whatever, the bed thing. and they blew it up because it's kind of like the ones they have in the mountains. They blow it up, and then I remember going to hospital. Like, I remember everything until basically that same night where they had to put me in coma. And then the next thing I remember is waking up. It was like 3 weeks after, and it felt like it was the next day. Like, I just thought I was sleeping overnight, and then I wake up and I was like, whoa, like, what's happening, you know?
Fuck. So, and why did they have to put you in a coma?
So all the blood, and because also my urethra break, so all the pee, all the shit, everything went into my lungs. So
in your lungs?
Yeah, so I couldn't breathe. Oof. So they had to put me in coma, and then when everything is not coming out of your lungs, I don't know how it's, I don't know if it's called the same in English. It's like crono, where they put you face down.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put you head down as well. And they put something on your lungs that goes like, just gives little taps. So everything comes out. And it's like the last thing they can do.
Bro, so what I've heard, a COVID-related thing, is that you know, when you get intubation, usually they saturate your body with several minutes or a long time of 100% oxygen.
Yeah.
Because when you get intubed, your body has such a big lack of oxygen that you kind of need a saving.
Yeah.
And when you have a real severe case of COVID and they shortly before they intube you at that hospital where the doctor or whoever was explaining about it, oh, I hear girl.
They're going Coco Loco.
Coco Loco? No, what's Coco Loco?
That's the guys.
That's always the worst on tour. when you're like trying to sleep and then you hear everyone having a blast walking by and you're like just half naked running out, swinging the hoozle around or showing them the butt.
Yeah.
Or in your case, the butthole.
The boom hole.
A lovely trick of Adolf is showing the bum hole to everyone. He just loves it. Anyway, back to the serious thing. So they said, they tell the patients, look, we have to intube you, but they have to intube them with a very low saturation of oxygen because the body can't take it anymore due to COVID. And it has a 50-50 chance. So they tell them, call your family. We have to lay you, we have to intube you and lay you on your stomach.
Yeah, so that's what I have.
And that's the that's a 50-50 thing they can chance.
Do. Yeah, well, they basically told my mom, just halfway through when I was in coma, they told my mom that they could know nothing else. And they said, if he wakes up, then good. If not, he's dead. So there's nothing to do. It's just what it is.
Crazy.
So, yeah, it's crazy. But it's worse for them than for me, because in the end, I woke up. I had no idea what happened, you know? And they were, my mom and my grandpa were there every day, you know, and they were suffering it. I was not suffering. I mean, I was suffering, but I wasn't conscious of it. So then I woke up.
Getting out of it, you had a lot of pain, like when you then consciously woke up over the weeks?
Not pain. I had fear. I didn't want to sleep. I didn't sleep for 7 days.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't want to sleep and not wake up again. So I woke up, they took all the tubes out, they put the, this, oh. Nice, they put whatever, how's this called in English? I hope it doesn't smell, because if it smells, I'm leaving. Motherfucker.
I think this reflects our minds. I mean, most serious topic. Sorry, by the way.
I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, about not sleeping.
Yeah, so when I woke up, they took the tubes out of whatever, and then they put the thing on my throat. I don't know how it's called.
That's why you have a hole under you.
Yeah, like the hole they make in the throat to breathe. And and then I didn't sleep for 7 days, 1 week, because I was scared. I was actually scared of sleeping and not waking up again. So I didn't sleep for 7 days until I was so tired, and I had to ask my mom to stay with me. And then I slept finally. But yeah, it got to the point where I would close my eyes, but I was not sleeping. And I had the TV on, and just by listening to the first 3 seconds of whatever it was up, I knew what it was. Like, I knew the commercial, I knew everything. Because in the TV, they just put the same shit all over and over. So I knew everything, because I didn't sleep for 7 days, nothing, zero. And also...
But you started tripping, no? If you don't sleep for so long, you're tripping, or...?
Honestly, I don't even know. I couldn't talk, because I had the tube here, so I couldn't talk anyways.
I am your father.
No, not nothing. Even. Nothing, because when you have the tube here, it's before your vocal cords.
Vocal?
Vocal. Shit. Vocal loco. So you can't talk. So I couldn't talk. And every day, like two or three times a day, they came with a fucking, like a vacuum, little vacuum. They put inside your throat and they have to clean it. So it's like,
oh, damn.
Yeah, it's really bad. So my mom had to do that for me because I, you know. And I was just in room. No windows, because it was the UCI.
Oh, yeah.
So no windows. I didn't know what time it is. I didn't know nothing. So just kept passing days and days, and I had no idea.
Did it feel long?
Not to me. I mean, once I woke up, flew to Barcelona.
Oh, then, this was all in France, right?
Well, I woke up. Yeah, this was all in France. Then I woke up in France. And then as soon as I woke up, a day or two after, they flew me to Barcelona already. In France, I only remember like a lot of crazy stuff, but it was while I was in coma. It was like dreams. I don't know. It's like really crazy stuff that I would dream, but would make sense with what's happening in real life. You know, it's like,
yeah, like kind of a limbo phase where you...
No, limbo is the next thing. Then at the very end, before waking up, the last thing I remember is I was looking down. So like, I don't know, let's say you look down and you see a square, and that square was my room, and I was laying down in bed in coma. And that's the last thing I remember. And then...
So you saw yourself out of third person perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, that sounds...
So I saw myself from up somewhere, and I was just in a bed, sleeping or in coma or whatever. Oof. Yeah. And a bunch of more like crazy stuff that I don't even know how to explain. I've never explained it to anyone because I don't even know how to explain it. It's just memories in my head that are crazy, like very crazy. And I've tried to explain it sometimes, but it's just not possible. It's just like, makes no sense when I explain it. It's like dreams and really weird stuff. But then my mom told me, oh yeah, because, you know, your sister and your family and this came. I was like, oh fuck. Then in my head, everything makes sense because it was when they came. And, or like I had dreams where I got kidnapped and they took me with helicopters to different places. And that's when they moved me from one room to another. Like a lot of crazy stuff.
Damn.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I'm so glad you're back.
Yeah.
And man, that's an early story. I remember it was a big thing. We were all very, very concerned. Yeah. But like you say, it's one out of a thousand. And I mean, it's the risk, you know? But at the, on the other hand,
yeah, but might be destiny. Not even.
You can walk on the...
That's, or, yeah, that's what I mean.
You've just seen an old lady.
Yeah.
Like, I walk out of my room, I hear like really, really deep, like a bass drum. Boom. And then what happened? I know you know what happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Like out there, just now.
Yeah, yeah, I know. The woman just fell down the stairs and didn't look really good. Yeah.
Poor old lady. Luckily, some of our stuff with the first aid thing were there. And
yeah, she was stable in the end, so...
It took ages here in Egypt to get people moving, and there was a lot of blood. Horrible, horrible. And then you walk by and you burp. I mean, you're far further away, but there's like two elderly people crying for a person that just fell and might die, and you're like,
ugh. No, what they're do you not think gonna when die.
You,
do that?
You don't think, right?
I just came out, just like your fart. I was talking about something, and you just fart.
No, this was, it's always at 23 minutes of the podcast, I have to go like,
okay.
And it was you who farted, what are you talking about?
No.
Yeah, also breakfast, hotel breakfast, elderly people, full hotel room breakfast.
No, I didn't do.
No, you did do.
I did?
Why you do?
I don't remember. Maybe I did.
Not this time, but a lot of
times. Oh, yeah, a lot of times, yeah. Yeah, in Spain we say cosa pudenta fuera del ventre. Means stinky thing out of your stomach. You know?
In general, we say different. We say, wenn das Ohr schon brummt, ist der Adolf gesund. Which means, if the ass is making noise, Adolf must be of good health. So, I mean, I can't blame you for showing your butthole and farting and burping. I'm 34 and I still, I wouldn't do it in like mega public, but it's kind of I think we just got stuck in that age of fart shit.
Yeah, I think so.
Pee poo.
Pee poo.
Oh my god, you got the pee-poo shirt off? Wait, this is like huge. This is huge. So we're here on the podcast. I'm just doing a video for Sam Reynolds. And I say we're talking about pee-poo. And Adolf is wearing the pee-poo shirt. This is insane.
It's you know my favorite shirt.
How's the song?
What?
How's the song?
And I pee some. And a boozle. And a bees, when a boozle, when a bees, when a boozle, whoa, 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 when a boozle, when a bees, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, another very, yeah, people must be thinking we're crazy, but we are crazy, and that's what's funny, you know. I think you should never grow up.
I don't
responsibility
care.
Grows, but you should stay childish and laugh. It really helps you. Did you know if you can trick your mind if you're sad and you smile for I think over 60 seconds, when the corners of your mouth are up, it kind of activates some receptors in your brain that think that you're actually happy.
No way.
I swear. I saw
a
professor on a university talking about it. Obviously not personally. I saw a YouTube video. I've never seen it.
Georg, don't do that.
I've never seen a university from inside.
Me neither. I didn't even see my school from inside.
I have my seven. where were we? Just the adult behavior is through and through one of a kind.
Oh, cheeky one.
Cheeky little bangante man. So, and then you switched to mountain bike, right?
Yeah.
Why?
honestly, because of the brake. BMX brakes are so shit that I hated it. And I was starting to do a lot of front flips back then. And I don't know, it was a bunch of things. The brakes, and then I remember after MOD show, I think it was my third MOD, Andreo was like, "You want my mountain bike?" At the party, he was like, "You want my mountain bike? Take it home, it's all yours."
No way. At the MOD party?
At the MOD party.
Oh, yeah,
where you took the fucking pedals off.
So Adolf just leaves this mountain bike at my garage, and then he's like, and there was it had the Lacondigi DMR pedals. Oh my god, the oil slick color. They're so sick, but they're
brand new, like
deadly gripful, like almost unrideable in skate parks and stuff, because you know, sometimes when you like slip do a simple thing and you want to slip your foot off from the side, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But still the sickest pedals, and they have a big platform, really nice. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm kind of, I have a high hourly wage, and I'm not going to pack this bike like 15 minutes for free. So I just took the pedals.
Yeah, you took the pedals. I was like, what the fuck? It was the coolest part of the bike, and I didn't have it. Then I told Andrew, and he got me a new set.
And I'm like, sorry. Shit, I forgot.
Yeah.
Complete lie.
That was quite funny. But yeah, that's where I got my first mountain bike. And actually, I still have it at home. And
you have the frame or everything?
The frame, yeah.
Sick frame.
Oh. Yeah, no, I got everything, actually. I mean, it's not built, but I have everything. But yeah, I have that frame. And I started riding mountain bike. And then...
It helped you a lot, right, with your, like... No-hand Supermans and double grabs. And
yeah,
all
the motor stuff
was way more
stable and more fun to do also, because, you know, you could also go bigger jumps. You know, BMX was... I mean, I loved riding BMX, but I think I was just meant to switch because I'm more of a moto guy, and I like big jumps and big extensions, and mountain bike is just better for it. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible on BMX, but... mountain bike is just easier, better, more comfy. And then step by step just switched to downhill bikes as well, which Andreo gave me my first downhill bike as well.
No way.
Yeah.
Big up to the square.
Yeah.
As wide as high. Is he better now after his Rampage crash?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's riding again now.
Oh, that must have hurt.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was so bad.
Yeah.
I felt so sorry for him.
Crash, like, drop like that, it's just like, next day you feel like everything inside of you is broken.
Bro, the Rampage crashes this year were gnarly.
Yeah.
Do you think it's too crazy of an event?
Yeah, it is too crazy, but that's the whole point of it. You know, it's Rebel Rampage. It's no fucking around, it's no jokes, it's no... no amateur time. Is just like,
do you think it would be better if it's not big if it's not trimmed down to like one run and it's wind and all the cameras are on you and you have to go live, and it would be more like Audi 9s, like you have a week to send it. Like a week to build, 5 days to rest, and then a week to send all together. Mm. And then you get the winner.
But then it wouldn't be a Rebel Rampage, you know? It'd be a different event. So I do think that the runs with the win, it's a bit fucked up because... But you do get 10 minutes, but, you know, nothing's going to change in 10 minutes. So I do think if it's a windy day, then it should just postpone to the next day. So everyone is comfy with it. But I don't know. I kind of like... I mean, we don't do a lot of contests a year. And for one contest we have, I like to feel that pressure. That pressure is what makes you want to go back. Or at least makes me want to go back, you know? I'm up there and I feel the pressure and you have all the people, all the cameras, and you know, it's like, it's time to prove everything you've been working for, because it's like the biggest contest, it's the biggest thing we have in our sport. So
you went once, right?
Yeah, 2018. Yeah, and then 2019 I broke my leg.
That was in Belgium?
In Belgium, yeah.
On that huge jump?
Yeah, massive overshoot. I don't know how big the jump was. I think the jump was maybe 20 or 21 or something like that. And I probably went like 7 or 8 meters more. I just landed flat, sideways. My leg just snapped with the frame.
Did you instantly knew?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean with the frame?
So like I landed sideways because I got like bucked little bit because I was following Nico Bink. And, you know, when you follow someone in big jumps, the drag changes a lot.
What is, explain that to...
So when you go behind someone, the wind is not, the friction is not the same that if you're alone, because you have less drag from the air, you know? So I was following Nico Bing a bit too close as well. And I always like to go a little bit faster than everyone when I try new jumps, because I don't like casing. Casing just destroys you, but overshooting too. But I always go a little bit faster than everyone. So if they say go this speed, I'll go a tiny bit more because I'd rather overshoot and that's it. So yeah, I just went a bit too much. I probably had a bad suspension setup at the time as well. And then just got bucked open with the bars sideways. And then before I hit the ground, my leg turned, like, touched the frame and just completely snapped in three places. So I snapped the femur in three places. And then I just rolled all the way to the next ramp. And my femur was basically on top of me.
No.
Like, my leg was, like, right here on top of me. And do that is the only time that I fucking screamed after a crash. That's, so when I crashed, Andrea was right there. And after all this, he told me that he knew I was bad just because the way I was screaming. Because I never scream after a crash. Usually when I crash, even if I'm hurting, it don't matter. I get up, I leave, I hold it, I go on the side, and then I go, oh, you know, like where no one sees you or whatever. And here it was just like, you know, like pure pain, a lot. And then the medic just grabbed my leg and put it straight because he had to do it. And that was like, it was the worst.
So that would be huge, huge, huge.
That's pain. The worst crash for me.
Huge pain.
Yeah, it's the worst pain I ever had for sure. And good thing is I was in surgery less than 50 minutes from my crash.
And it took a lot of time to get back from this one, right?
Yeah, it took me 12 months, 1 year.
Yeah. Why did normally 6 months for a femur, but it's if you like snap it singular, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is I snapped it one like this horizontal and one vertical. So the vertical one, it takes so long, and every body, every person, everything is different. So I don't know. It just took me a lot of time. It took me a lot. And I did hyperbaric chamber. I did 25 sessions. I was every day in a fucking hyperbaric chamber for an hour, try, because that's supposed to help your bones regenerate quicker. So maybe it did, maybe it didn't, I don't know. But it took me a long time. Yeah, that was the worst. That's when my bad luck started, 2 years ago.
And then?
And then, what, I was good for... Well, then COVID came. Thanks, COVID. And basically, we couldn't do anything. So I started building my backyard. That's when COVID came. Then started riding, this, that, whatever. I had a few events after my leg snapped. I think I had one Audi 9s where I still did Cali Roll. So I was already back.
Oh, yeah. That's when you did the first...
No, the second. The first Cali Roll was before I broke my leg. The second Cali Roll was after breaking my leg.
Okay. Cali Roll is when you spin without the
bike. Yeah, like 360 without the bike. And then maybe a few more events, this, that, whatever. And then... Dark Fest this year, so 2021, I broke my wrist.
But you guys kept secret, right?
Yeah, because it was going to be something quick. I mean, I didn't keep secret, but I told all my sponsors, I told people that had to know and everything. But sometimes... Then after, when I got recovered, then I explained everything to everyone. But I didn't want to make it public and make, after coming from a femur injury, then this, I don't know, people talks a lot. So,
how did you break your wrist there?
Yeah, so the first moon launcher. So there's the step up.
The one you double flipped, crazy.
Yeah, the one that I double flipped the first year was the last jump. So now there was another jump after it. So the night before, we're talking with Reynolds and Ryan from Monster and stuff. We're like, it would be sick to do double flip on a downhill bike, I don't think a lot of people did that, or maybe no one, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. So I did that on the BMX, I did that on the mountain bike. So I was like, why not doing it on the downhill bike? And those jumps were just pretty good for it. So I did first double flip, got a bit sideways because the jump is a bit of a hip and it's on my bad side too. So like if it was a hip on the other side, I can flip, but this side, no. So I got a bit funny and stuff, whatever. It was okay. So I went up again. Then I do the second, another double flip. And I did go a little bit deep, but not too much. And just the impact, like I went so high that the impact... I didn't crash to break my wrist. So my wrist, I was holding on the bars and my wrist dislocated landing on the, just landing the double flip. That's because I went so high. Really? Yeah, we have a video on slow-mo where you can just see that I go like that, hit the helmet on my wrist, and then my wrist dislocates and then I can't hold on to the bars. Then I put the hand down and that's when it breaks, I think. Yeah.
How big is the jump?
I don't know, actually. I have no idea. 18 maybe? Huge. Yeah, 18, 16.
But like a dirt jump.
Yeah, it's like the ramp is, I don't know. It's the biggest, probably one of the biggest ramps I've ever rode for sure. It's so tall. It's like, I mean, I don't know. Reynolds would know about this. I don't know the measures of it, but it's massive. The airtime there is like the biggest airtime ever. It's really good double, but just landed a bit deep. Maybe the...
Crack a cold one here for the last 15 minutes of the podcast. This is Imberia. Stella. Well, cheers, Adolf. Ooh. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Interesting guy. Lovely guy. I love you. You know that.
Like I love a son. Too. Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been, huh? Do you know when that first MOD was?
14 or 15. I can't remember.
14 or 15. So it makes it seven years. Damn.
Well, MOD was, I always say, it was my first ever everything, really.
Also for Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We talk about it in the podcast. Guys should listen to it. It's insane. Cordela, unfortunately in German, so you can't listen to it. Russo's. I mean, the Russo's started riding. Everyone's kind of started, or everyone obviously
Yeah, no, you're right before. The first, platform. But first, first place where you... go out was for sure MOD, and that's where everything started, linking up, like MOD, then you get this, then you go there, and then, doing MOD every year always helps, of course, it's it's big show, big place. And
do you think the fire extinguisher goes on if I smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Should we try?
Put a sock on it.
Oof. Oh, that's a mission.
Or maybe just open the window.
Then I think we have the sound. This side does. Oh yeah, you want to hear the crazy story?
What?
I locked myself out here yesterday.
Why?
I arrive in the room. I go out. I'm like,
oh, the sound is shit.
Yeah, I know. We hear all the Germans already reserving their bed for tomorrow. At the beach here in Egypt. So I come, arriving at the hotel here in Egypt, after being delayed with the flight, stuck at customs, having to deal with customs, like, honestly, a travel that should take, like, door-to-door 6 hours took me, honestly, I think 12 or 13 hours. Anyway, it is how it is. I never complain when I travel because it's always what you make out of it, and it takes as long as it takes. You're in a queue. You're at customs. Your bags, lost your bags. You can't change it.
No.
You know? So I'm not like, I'm never moaning. I try to never moan. Walk in here, put my shoes off finally. Oh yeah, my shoes are off. Put my phone on the table, want to smoke a cigarette. Open, slide the door behind me, click. No. And then I tried to open, one side's already loose, so I think it must have happened to someone.
No way.
And literally, like, too high to jump, and there's a curb, so I couldn't, like, make it on this curb. The pillars to go down are too wide. I'm like, I don't want to fuck myself up. I'm so tired. So I'm like, help me. And then the neighbor comes out. She's like, silent, please. And I'm like, I hear she's German, so I'm like, yeah, me ausgesperrt, like, I locked myself out. She goes back in, closes her door, didn't give a shit, and then the guy came, and I'm like, I explained him.
Did they open it?
Yeah, they opened it, thankfully. So, of all the tricks, let's go back to tricks a little bit. Of all the tricks, what's your favorite trick, and what's the hardest trick?
My favorite trick.
And what's the scariest trick?
My favorite trick overall, I would say I really, really like rock solids. I think it's a really fun trick to do. Just the feeling is amazing, you know.
You do them on the mountain bike, right?
Yeah.
So double seat grab?
Yeah, double seat grab, let go, double seat break again, come back. Full on motor trick. It's super, super good to do, you know. You're just like hanging out there and I don't know, the feeling is amazing. And then obviously double flips. I really like double flips. I think I can double flip better than single flip for sure.
Okay, but and then scariest one?
Scariest one. I don't know. On what bike? Like.
Yeah, on a mountain bike.
Like dirt jump bike?
Yeah, in general, yeah.
In general.
I mean, I guess it's a bit jump depending, but.
I don't really know what's the scariest trick.
Triple flip?
True. Triple flip is one of the tricks that before doing it, it always gives me a bit of a rush for sure. You know, yeah. Because, you know, it's such a weird thing, you know, because double flip is easy. I mean, easy. It's quite easy because you just go and do two flips. You're like doing two flips up and that's it.
And triple flip.
Triple flip, you're doing two flips up. And one flip down. So it's quite weird. I mean, we got him good, but it always quite scares me before doing it for sure. Also, I would say Cali rolls. Cali rolls, maybe I'm not on the dirt jump bike because, you know, the jumps are not so big, but on the downhill bike, takes me a while to get him. And also gets me quite nervous before doing them. Oops.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, Cali rolls also get me quite nervous. Because, you know, to land the first Cali roll, it took me 300 tries. To dirt. I never tried to foam bit.
300?
No joke. Like 200 to 300. I don't know how many. But it took me, I was at four different events before landing a Cali roll. And I tried, yeah, I did try in a foam pit once with my dirt jump bike, but it never even worked, like not even close. And then I just decided to start trying it on dirt. So I started trying it on dirt, and never worked. Like, you know, I was not even close to making it, but I kept trying. And then Audi 9s, 2017, I think it was, or yeah, 17 or 16, 17. I don't know where it just worked. Like, literally, I don't know where, because I had not one close call. Every fucking try was so far. And then one time, it just worked. Just like, I came around and I was on my bike. I was like, yes. And then it worked. And I haven't done many, actually. I've crashed so many times, but never really landed that many. I mean, last MOD tour, which was, what, 19?
No, 19.
20 was 19, nothing. 19, yeah. So in 19, when we did the Austrian tour, we did a few as well, and it worked. But yeah, it's a complicated trick. Maybe we try tomorrow. We'll see.
So do you have a new sponsor?
For what?
Bikes?
No, not yet.
Just on YT still or not anymore?
No. I haven't been for 2 years.
For 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no YT.
So now there is...
So I am talking...
If someone has bikes...
Yeah, if someone has bikes for me, I need a sponsor. No, I am talking to a few options.
Nice.
One of them is looking promising to me. I like the brand. I like the guys. I like the bikes, which for me is the most important. I have to really like the bike. Otherwise, it makes no sense, because if you ride with a bike that you don't like...
Is it NS? Is,
no. I was talking to NS, but then they decided to sign the UR team. But
you should have seen the move he did with his hand whispering it in the mic.
No, just kidding.
I like NS. I like the style of NS.
Yeah, it's good. Cool, the only thing, they're a bit big for me, but you know, you can always get used to the bikes. That's not a problem. But like I say, you need to like the brand and like the bikes. If you like those two, then you'll be good. No, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, hopefully something should be knowing anytime soon.
Nice. Well, good luck.
So hopefully
you deserve it.
Otherwise I'll keep trying bikes and and see.
Of course.
I tried a few.
Things will fall into place, you know.
Yeah.
But what's next for... you have... Is that only a backyard or only also a house you live in?
No, it's the house I live in and the backyard, yeah. So...
Thanks for the invite, by the way. I'm so blessed. Thank you.
Next spring. I mean, you can come in winter, but it's just not rideable at all. Yeah. I mean, only the big jumps are rideable. But the trail line is not rideable in winter, really, because it's just a bit too wet and cold. But
how is Andreo's yard?
It's insane.
Did you ride it all?
Nope, because I broke my wrist. So I haven't been able to ride there.
Oh, it's too crazy?
No. I mean, it's crazy. There's different options. It's crazy. It's just super like good build.
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. They're big. There's a few big stuff. And, you know, Nico built it. So it works really good. And I mean, I don't know, I haven't tried it, but I see them, like, I was there with my broken wrist watching them ride sometimes, and it looks really good. It looks super good.
Now I'm gonna put you on the line.
What line?
How do you stand to the infamous, totally unnecessary Dark Fest and Fest Series beef 2021?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly,
I think it's sad. Like, we are like, fuck soccer, fuck this sport. And then we're such a small scene. And
I mean, yes and no, you know, like, they're doing their thing, you know, and they started something because they wanted it to be this way, you know, which I understand and I respect and I like, because mm-hmm. I love it. That's where I come from and that's what I do. But yeah, like, honestly, who cares? You know, like, it's just no one is telling them to not make an event or whatever. You know, they're just saying they don't want it to be part of whatever, of a series. You know, it's like if someone makes a show and they want it to be MOD and you say, no, I don't want this to be MOD, call it MOA, you know?
Like, masters of anal.
No, but shit. I don't know. Like, honestly, I think it don't matter. Like, the event is still, like, I'm still going to the event. I like the event. It's fun. It's good. And it's just not the fest vibe, and that's it. Mm. Like,
you know. I was just curious. I thought it was I don't like people fighting. Like, like you said, I'm like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's
who gives a shit if media or no media, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What, at the end of the day, you have to, you know, you unfortunately have to pay the bills or you have to go work. And if you go work, then you cannot ride on the level, in my opinion, unless you're super talented and blessed, you cannot ride on the level and
retain
riding safe on a level, especially when getting older. You will get crisp, you will get scared, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you have to be on top of your game. But anyway, I was just, it just popped to my mind. So yeah, you have your own house. I can't wait to come. Thank you so much for the invite again.
You're invited anytime.
I know.
But
you know, my house is your house.
Yeah, but it's been crazy times, you know. Like, I've been living there in a caravan with my girlfriend.
But there's no house on there?
Yeah, but the house is to rebuild. The whole house has to be rebuilt.
Oh, you haven't started?
So I don't have the permission yet. Fucking Spain takes forever. So I rebuilt the garage. Made a sick garage. It's a big garage, you know, with all my stuff, whatever. And then I was just gonna, like, keep renting another place and just go there for riding and stuff. But then one day, it was when COVID and stuff can start coming, you know? So I was like, fuck, what do I do? I'm not gonna be able to move from my house. Fuck, that just came out. I'm not gonna be able to move from my house. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Like, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Buy a caravan. Live there. Good job. So I just lived there for a year and a half inside a fucking caravan.
How big was the caravan?
Small. Very small. Like, it was one of the craziest things ever. And through winter, especially winter. Winter is really cold there. It's like in a valley. Like, it's really cold there. Everything's frozen. So it's really hard. So we passed one winter after one winter. I was like, you know what? I'm selling. So I sold the caravan and I just fixed up the bottom floor, which is really nice now. And I'm just waiting for the permission so I can keep fixing the whole house. But the jumps are dialed, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's all that matters. That's why I wanted that place, because I wanted to build jumps where I can ride with my friends. I can film, which I haven't done a lot, but it's gonna come soon. I just want to make sure everything is perfect before I make something, you know. But
it will never feel like that.
Huh?
It's so hard.
It's impossible.
Like, I probably spent $100,000 in the Massive Dirt backyard.
Yeah, it's
over the last 2003 we started.
Yeah.
For sure, $100,000. For sure.
Yeah, I believe it.
And even more work hours, dedication,
love. Yeah, more than money is the hours.
We started, we would come, we were five people, we would come for a week, we would need 6 days, or not six, but like 4 to 5 days to get the jumps ready with the rake and the. And then we were covering them, the covers would blow off, then we did this. It just didn't work out. And then we started, you know, and now I swear to God, you come alone. You pull off the covers and they have these wood pieces on the side with like very long nails in the middle, one long nail.
Yeah.
And I put it every meter. It takes like an hour to cover everything. But
I can
come, you know, you have the cover, a thick, like a lorry cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like banner material. And then on the sub, each side, every meter, 1 meter flat wood piece. Yeah. 10 to 20 centimeters wide with one hole in the middle with a huge anaconda nail. You nail that in every 1 meter and then...
Then you come, fix the compressions.
The compressions we mix with concrete.
Nice.
Just to make sure. But then everything slightly tilted. Because
the water stays down.
And then you come and you uncover in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you ride.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's did wooden ramps, except for the hip lines, but also the hip lines when you have the jumps properly. Also on the mountain bike and stuff, you can always just ride it. And that's really
cool. That's good.
Actually, did we mention where we are right now?
No.
We're sitting in Egypt, Egypt.
Egipto.
Egipto del mar.
Yeah.
On the Red Sea, and the massive dirt family is reunited. Absolutely crazy.
How long has it been?
It's been to the day 2 years. It's
2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. Actually,
it felt way longer for me. When was the last show?
Now it's 22nd December 21, and the last show was 27th December.
In Austria?
Yeah. No, in Zagreb.
I wasn't there, no?
I think you were injured. Nicolai did a double flip 360.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was there. I think my last show was in, Austria.
And I live in Saudi now. Yeah. I don't live in Saudi, but...
You basically do. I mean, that's what it looks like. I've been wondering for some time. Oh, before I forget.
Are you going to ask me questions?
Yeah, well, we just have one question. The question of the gold question. What's happening with MOD Vienna?
True.
That's the main question.
True. You asked me earlier. I'm like, ask me on the podcast. It's being all secret. Can't tell you. I don't know. So what we are postponing the Austrian tour because no one buys tickets these days, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone has tickets that are not valid or people that change their things and stuff. So we have to postpone the Austrian tour.
So no tour in Austria.
No tour in Austria.
Next year.
But Mass of Dirt Vienna, 11th to 13th of March. We're going ahead as long as we're allowed.
Yeah.
We're full.
What do you mean for?
The tickets are sold. All tickets are sold. Remember that they locked us down 5 days before the show. And I really want to thank from the deepest of my heart all the people that kept their tickets.
Yeah.
And we are so ready to throw a huge show. And I cannot wait to have everyone united, but we don't know. Anyway, we have a new homepage. We have a Saudi office. We're managing the Russo Bros. They're going big. Propane bikes, Kenda. One sponsor I cannot.
You just said.
Tell about.
But you just said there.
Can I say which sponsor?
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool.
And they're really dedicated.
But wait, you just really said cool, you just said one sponsor that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. No, actually two new sponsors.
But you just said one of them that hasn't come out, that no one knows yet.
Two, no one knows.
What? You just said one, what's the other one? Kendan, everyone knows,
man. Oh, for the Russos or for MOD. In both cases, there's a sponsor we cannot speak about yet.
So the one you're saying is for the Russos?
Yeah.
But you said propane bicycles, which was for the Russos as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no one knows yet.
Yes, but no. I mean, it's not a secret.
Okay, well, they'll know next week, I think. That's what Russo told me.
Yeah, but this will probably go out only... Merry Christmas, by the way.
Feliz almost, Navidad. Almost.
Feliz Navidad. No, it was an absolute pleasure. Tomorrow we're going to rock the show. It's actually midnight.
Yeah.
Now I'm super hyped again.
For sure, tomorrow.
I'm so happy to see you again. Please stay safe.
Yeah, me too.
Blessings to your family.
Yeah.
And, bro, I can't wait for episode 2. And maybe do one with Russo and you and everyone together. We should.
Yeah, we should do one for sure.
Yeah.
Well, maybe tomorrow at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're sitting here in the hotel room.
Doing nothing all day, so.
Ooh, that was a good one. Thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Check out Adolf's social media. Check out his videos. If you see him, ask him for stickers. Ask Say him hi. For his bike. the usual fan stuff. And check out the new Massive Dirt homepage, which is online. Super cool.
I'll check it out. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Maybe I can connect here. And, no, it doesn't work. Anyway, see you. Thank you, Adolf, for your time. Appreciate it. Love you.
Thank you, Georg.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.